Let us pray. Father, we ask this morning that you grant to us insight in your word. Thank you for revelation knowledge this morning, accuracy in application, accuracy in understanding, as we behold Christ as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, in case you just come for the first time, we've been teaching on salvation, and that's not just for the first time, we've been teaching for a while, and this is the fifth series in this teaching. If you've been studying it, you discover that each series had a different concept of salvation that he dealt with. And we've had different ones answered questions like, can a man lose his salvation? Other questions like, what does the blood of Jesus do for us? And things like, does God choose and select those who should be saved? And those are things that we've been able to explain. Some other concepts of maybe redemption, reconciliation, propitiation, all those words used in the Bible, they are not magical words, all right? They're just explanatory words, and we've been able to solve them. Now, this time around, we are teaching something different, praise God, and you find out what it is as we proceed. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we said, remember, that the subject of salvation is a major subject in the Bible. In fact, I'm going to show you something particularly today, and how you will see, all right, pay attention, that the subject of E.W. Kenyon said, every denomination is known by its view of the new birth. That is, the way you see salvation defines the denomination in the body of Christ. And that's really pretty true. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse 15. Paul speaking to Timothy, he says, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. Alright, so salvation through faith, right, which is in Christ. And we have said this, and I'm going to just repeat it one more time, that salvation is not just because Jesus died, remember? It's because you have faith in it. So, those who don't have faith in it, who disbelieve it, cannot be saved. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? Around last night, yesterday? Around there yesterday? Was that very clear yesterday? Oh, very clear. So, there's nothing called everybody saved because Christ died. That's not true. We've been able to look at that much more intricately. And then we'll proceed to do that. And then next week, I believe this week Saturday, we will go into some other one or two, three controversial texts. They are only controversial because men made it so. And then we'll be able to look at it both exegetically and exegetically, and to be able to explain it in detail. So we said here that salvation is a major subject. It's so major that it will affect the way you relate with God, to know what it means to be saved. So it says, from a child you have known the scriptures. Which scriptures? Remember? The Old Testament. Is that clear? Luke's Gospel. Is that very clear? Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 25 to 27. Says, O fools, slow of heart to know how all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And in 27 says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. Right? The things concerning himself. Now quickly look at 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 15. Peter makes a submission there about Paul. 2 Peter 3:15. An account, now he's talking about salvation, he said, an account, the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as that is, God's long suffering is salvation. Is that clear? Right. Of our Lord is salvation. Now, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, as written unto you. Notice what it says, according to the wisdom. The word wisdom is the word sophia, insight. Wisdom is not common sense. It's not something that is common, that everybody just think, well, saved. May God save you, you know, that kind of thing. Wisdom here is insight.
to know, to see in. So Paul had wisdom, that is, he had insight into these truths. It was a major subject. Now look at it. He's talking about salvation. He said Paul had insight. In other words, even among the apostles, salvation was a major subject for Paul to be so recognized that he had insight. So salvation is not a subject for Sunday school teachers. No. They were all guys. Why are we teaching salvation? Why not let's teach transformation? Am I right? What's transformation? Why? So is this new convert class? Is it new convert class? Like a fellow one time, I was teaching him in a place, I think 96, and then he said, I don't know, just walked away. I said, why? He said, you're talking about the reality of the new creation. New creation. That's for new converts. I said, so you're no longer a new creation? He didn't even know what it was. But he assumed that new creation should mean new convert. I mean, I've been a believer since the day of Pentecost. Why should I be hearing new creation? This was ignorant. Peter here is recognizing that Paul had peculiar insight as touching the subject of salvation. Every pastor, I told you this before, every pastor should be an expert in the subject of salvation. Every pastor. Don't be an expert in telling us entrepreneurship. That's not why you are called to the ministry. Telling us about government or politics. That's not ministry. That's not. There's no sermon of Paul that is government or Jesus. Politics. There's not. You will talk about salvation. Praise God. Hallelujah. The peculiar insight. Very peculiar. On the subject of salvation. Now I'm going to show you something in a moment to see how important the subject of salvation was, even amongst the apostles. In fact, look at Acts 11. Remember the background of Acts 11 was that Peter went to the house of Cornelius. Then he preached in the house of Cornelius. And in the house of Cornelius, people began to speak with tongues after they had received the gospel. And the news went to the apostles. And look at what happened in verse 1. And the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Now, what does receive mean? Lambano, to take it. Not that they heard, like you just heard something, no. Receive. Lambano, to take a hold of the word of God. Then when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. That is, they argued with him, saying, you went into men uncircumcised and did eat with them. So there was a contention as touching this subject. So Peter began to tell his story, which you will find in Acts 10. Then look at verse 17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift, as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? That shows you that the apostles had believed before the day of Pentecost. Is that okay? All right, because he's talking about the day of Pentecost. He said, who was I to withstand God? Notice that. Who was I to withstand God? Then verse 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying that God had that then as God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now, I want you to notice something. Now, if you read that statement, you will think that somehow they had come to full understanding. But no, they hadn't. You see something in a moment. Many times,
what believers, a lot of believers have is an idea what you're talking about. Or they just hear about it.
Oh, that's true.
Alright, Peter went there. He preached. Oh, good. They got saved. Alright, fine. And so, but really, that's not revelation knowledge. That's not knowledge. That's not the kind of knowledge that you know by yourself. You just give thanks to God. Now, don't forget, what was the contention? The contention was that Peter preached to the Gentiles. He went in amongst them to fellowship. And much more, preached unto them. Because Peter's defense was not about, I didn't mean to eat with them, I was just hungry. That's not what he was talking about. If you need to read it in context. It was the fact that he went there to preach the gospel. Remember, Peter had to battle that when God showed him a vision, and then he was saying that he couldn't. In fact, if you look at it, in the vision, Peter was arguing. Ah, as you what? It's not clear. He said, go. Three men seek you. He said, go. Don't doubt. Okay. So he went. By the time he got to the house of Cornelius, his sermon showed that he was reluctant. He said, now I know that God is no respecter of persons. I mean, you could see that he was just there by the Spirit. Now I know. He said, but every man that walketh righteousness, okay, and the fear of God is accepted with him, which is not true. There's no righteousness with any man that God receives. But you could see that his sermon was, by the time you look at it, you see it was a reluctant preacher. By the time you get to verse 39 and 40, you see he changed his words to say that to him is preached forgiveness of sins. So imagine, how can you say that he that walks righteousness in 34, by the time you get to 39, he changed his sermon. Like, okay, he was now feeling more relaxed. You know, that was why the Holy Ghost didn't wait for him to lay hands. The Holy Ghost fell on those guys before he took them for water baptism first. You get it? So, you see, he was really reluctant. Because that wasn't something that was so clear. And I'll tell you why. If you back up to Matthew 10, when Jesus sent out his 12, he told them not to go to the way of Samaritans or to go to the Gentiles. Verse 6. He told them that. Verse 5 and 6. He told them that. So, somewhere in their mind, That registered, because again, that was normal with the Jews. So by the time Jesus was raised from the dead, and then he speaks to all of them in Matthew's Gospel chapter 28 and verse 18 to 20. He said, all power is given me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teaching all nations. Now, when you read all nations in the Bible, don't think he's talking about Nigeria, Egypt, Cameroon. No. All nations refer to two. There are only two nations that are spoken of in the Bible. And the first nation is Israel. The second are the Jews. I mean, the Gentiles. So by the time Jesus said all nations, it should have dawned on everybody that he is saying, preach to everybody. But you see, somehow in their mind, they still held on to Matthew's Gospel chapter 10. Are you following what I'm saying this morning? Are you following this morning? So by the time, look, Mark 16 also, 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to how many? Every creature. So you see, the thing didn't dawn on them because they were just growing up. So, all through, up to Acts 10, they were preaching to Jews. The only difference will have been Acts 8, which were the Samaritans, but you see, the Samaritans basically were their mixed breed. That is, they're like their cousins. So, that's not outrightly Gentiles. Samaritans are not called Gentiles. So, they just had that belief in their minds. So, Peter was really reluctant along those lines by the time he was preaching. So, he begins to explain. So, now notice something that happened after this. In verse 19, pay attention to this. Let's read verse 19 together. Acts 11. Now, I'll wait for you. You ready? Okay, let's go. Now, the scattered abroad, upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenix, Cyprus, Antioch,
Wait, one more time. Phoenix, Cyprus, and Antioch are Gentile nations, right? Am I right? Okay, the nation. Now, preaching the word to who? But unto the Jews only. So, did Peter's experience change anything? Because if you recall, Peter only showed them a vision. There was no explanation. There was no teaching. So they just go, well, God just moved that way. And then God has granted, is granted unto the Gentiles, specifically Cornelius' household. Everybody's okay, fine. It's just continue the tradition. That's why I often tell believers this. A one-time encounter never changes how you think. Remember I told you that? It has to be consistent. Consistent. You don't go to church to go and catch rhema. That's not. You go to church to learn consistently over time. I caught it. I caught that one. What did you caught? What caught you? That's why you mustn't go to church without humility. I've told you, anyone who is not humble can never learn the word. You can't learn the word. So, here they were. Just walked away. God was preaching. But only to Jews. So, the same thing came up. Now, obviously, two chapters after, you'll find Paul and Barnabas were sent by the Lord to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Remember that? Acts 13:1 and 2. Then the Holy Ghost says, separate me, Barnabas, and Paul, or Saul, for the work wherein I have called them. And then they went out to the Gentile nations and preached first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles, like Paul said in Romans 1:17. So they went out to preach. So by Acts 14, there were so many miracles and testimonies, and they had a lot of nations that had, in the Gentile nation that had opened up to the gospel. The Bible says the door of faith was opened to them, Acts 14:22. In fact, by 23, they were already ordaining elders. Imagine that. Elders. Elders were used for the word presbyterion in the Greek language, used by the Jews for elders in the Sanhedrin council. So imagine now. Obviously, those Jews that did not have the word, they would have been so annoyed. Can you imagine? He's ordaining them as Sanhedrin. So they'll be angry. He's ordaining elders. Are they even born again? Are they even truly saved? You know, everybody's arguing with it. So, because things were not well explained. Again, what is the issue in context? Salvation. Are you still out there? Salvation. So, let us observe something now. Acts 15. In Acts 11, the issue was, should he have gone at all to preach to the Gentiles? Right? Right? How you listen very well? Because this is a very important aspect of this. The first problem was, should he have gone at all? Okay, he has gone and he has preached. Alright, so they reluctantly, as in my opinion, accepted what happened. But now, in Acts 15, the issue read is all the air again. But this time around, in a bigger way. In Acts 15, verse 1, and certain men, pay attention here now. And certain men which came down from Judea. Judea refers to areas occupied by the Jews. Taught the brethren. Okay? Now, taught the brethren where? You just need to back up in chapter 14. They taught the brethren in this place. In Asia. Because look at 27. Verse chapter 14. And when they were come, they had gathered the church together. They rehearsed all that God has done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. That's what I was quoting earlier, not 22, 27. The door of faith on the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. So they were teaching people. Alright? And then, the Bible says people came from Judea. And they came to the same place. Please pay attention. These people are already saved. They now came to the same place. What did they say? And taught the brethren. In different ways. Maybe they organized programs like we do today. Maybe they went on air. Maybe they wrote books. Like today. There are a lot of books around. They wrote books. Maybe they were on Facebook. Maybe they were on Twitter. Whatever. But they taught the brethren and said, now notice this, except you be circumcised. Now, who were they teaching? Brethren. People were already saved. They were teaching people who were already saved. Now, in chapter 14, verse 28, these people were already being taught. Right? Because they called them disciples. Is it out there? So, they are teaching the brethren who already saved that except, mark that word except, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Who are they talking to? Huh? Brethren means those, remember brethren? Brethren is from the Greek word what? Adelphos, right? Am I right? Which is those from the same womb. That means these people are not brethren, like, because they're Gentiles. They can't call Gentiles brethren of the Jews because they didn't come from the same womb. You get that? So, they are Gentiles who are now brethren in the Spirit. So, they were telling them, except you be circumcised, you cannot be saved. Now, don't think, you see, the book of Acts is a book of summaries. It's not that they just came here and just said, except you be circumcised, after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. You cannot. That's not what they say. That's a summary of what they were saying. And don't forget, they taught it. That means they explained it. So, the issue of salvation was a contest. Who he saved? Who can be referred to as saved? Now, notice the first challenge. You know, have you noticed that what happened in Acts 11 or Acts 15? There are two different things. In Acts 11 it was that, should you have preached unto them at all? Are you there? Come on, are you there? Now, Acts 15, what's the issue? It's not okay, we accept that they can preach to you. But these are the conditions you must fulfill. If you want to be saved. Now, in the house of Cornelius, how did Cornelius get saved? He heard the word and he believed. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Okay, but they said no. In other words, they are invalidating even Cornelius' experience. So, they are saying no. And you see, many of us have experienced this sort of people. These people are Christians though. They can teach. We've experienced this sort of people. That when you hear them, you come out for altar call. You will come out again. There was a minister's program that I heard of. They called this man to come and minister. So my friend was telling me, that program was hot. So I was explaining the minister's program is that we prayed so much and prayed so much. You know, ministers who pray a lot. Or there was a move of the Holy Ghost. You get it? In particular, the gifts of the Spirit, or something like that. Said, when he finished preaching, he said, many people came out for altar call. So I was a bit, altar call? Okay, but you know, we can all call something altar call because people came out. Altar call for what? To give their life me. By the time he finished, that you can be a pastor, you will go to heaven. I said, sorry to say, sir, that's a false gospel. He said, but are you now saying that Reverend so-so and so, who was there? He himself, he bowed down. Are you saying that he doesn't know what he's saying?
I said, that's exactly what I'm saying.
I have no apologies for the truth. How can you give altar call? You are preaching and pastors feel uncomfortable about their salvation. Who sent you? It's not funny. Because many of us do not know how this has robbed believers of their fellowship with God. Except you be. Have you ever said that? You can speak in tongues. You can believe the gospel. Yes, you can be born again. But there was a time, early 92. I was preaching somewhere and I was talking about being born again. And this friend of mine, though it was 93, this friend of mine, he was more studious than all of us. So he now wanted to preach after me. He said, there's a difference between being born again and being born of water and the Spirit. So many of us are born again, but are you born of water and the Spirit? And everybody just went confused. Because we never think born again is verse 3. Water and the Spirit is verse 5. He said, are you born of water? So that is a different experience. He said, when you are born again, you see the kingdom. When you are born of water and the Spirit, you enter. Ah, wahala. I call such preachings salvation plus. Salvation plus something. And that's what, faith plus something. So they say, except they be. Now, this is usually not taken lightly like we do today. They say, God is the one that knows how, it's God. Let's just leave everybody. You know, some Christians don't like, some ministers say they don't like all those things. Let's talk about it. No, I don't like debates. I don't like, let's just let me. At the end of the day, we all know. Don't worry. Let's just, you see, these things are not, let's just know in your heart, know God in your heart. What kind of nonsense is that? Don't you see what they're saying? No preacher of the gospel in the Bible was a gentleman. They're just saying, okay, pacifist, okay. It's okay. Jesus just said, Pharisees, don't mind them. The Sadducees. Let's just leave them. Don't talk about them. I don't want arguments. I don't want arguments with them. They were always in contention. Are you aware of that? Look at this. Verse 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension, how can they want to spoil your work and you are looking at them? This is not about prayer. They didn't go and pray. They had no small dissension and disputation with them. You don't allow such people to get away with it. Do you understand? You don't allow them. I was in a program, and then this minister, he was doing fine. He was ministering by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he was giving out words of knowledge. That's good. And I was a preacher after him. So he now called out a lady. Said, before you got saved, you did so, so, and so. Trying to call out the thing she did. And I jumped at the man. I said, that's not true. That's not God speaking. That's not the Spirit of God. And I didn't take it. The man was stunned because he was on, who can confront me like this? Yes, God will. I confronted him. I said, the Bible says, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's the Spirit of God. This is not the Spirit of God. He froze. The lady was already like this. She's also froze. Her body froze. And he stopped. He didn't proceed further. The Bible says, Paul said, and they shall proceed no further. Hallelujah. That's what Paul said about those kind of people. Praise God. Here there was no small dissension. Not one. Not a small dissension. It's not a small issue. Salvation is not a small issue. Say, let's forget about it. Let's just focus. The most important thing is that let people just let their needs be met. People need money and they need jobs and they need marriage and they need children. Let's face that one. Leave this issue of salvation. Look, we will somehow, we will know
at the end of the day. At the end of the day, it was a contention. Praise God. I dare say it's still a contention today. Still out there? Watch this. So the Bible says there was a contention, a disputation. That word, okay, you see where it comes out later. Now, in verse 3, and being brought there, so Paul and Barnabas, they now went with the other of them, they went to Jerusalem, unto the apostles and elders about this question. This question, the word question is the word zetema in the Greek. Z-E-T-E-M-A. It means debate. It became a debate. Today, when ministers come together, they don't talk about the word. A lot of ministers, not all. It's just about, come and see what we are doing in our ministry. We just bought a land in Hassel Rock. The vice president now attends our church. In fact, the president is also a tither. How is that? And that's why, I hardly, you know, try to mix too much. I do have a lot of relationship with ministers, but I don't find myself talking about those kind of things with you. We talk about the word. Praise God. I don't have time for talking like we're in the, we're not celebrities. We're not businessmen. We handle the word. And that's what you're talking about. So, there was a question. The word zetima, it means there's a probe, an inquiry. Actually, the Greek says a hot argument. This hot argument. And you see how often this word is used. How often was this word used in the book of Acts? Acts 18:15. If it be a question of words and names of your law, look you to it. I'll be no judge of such matters. A debate. Acts 18:15. Acts 23:29. Whom I perceive to be accused of questions of their law. Debate. Again of the law. Acts 23:29. Acts 26:3. Especially because I know thee to be an expert or expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. So he's talking to Paul. So Paul was known as one who engaged a whole lot in debates. In debates. Along the lines of salvation. So it's not, well, I don't like argument. There was someone who said that I don't like Bible debate. I just want people to be blessed. What does that mean? That's an absolute nonsense. Something that involves the eternity of man. You don't want to talk about it. You just want the one that is temporary. No, there's something wrong with that. Praise the Lord. A brother was telling me how in a particular place with different churches and ministries that some people brought a theology there that many people began to doubt their salvation. Many people. Because of the Reformed theology or Calvinism. He said, for a long time, nobody had an answer. People were so shocked. He said, many people start speaking in tongues. Even pastors, if my pastor told me that he practically stifled the gifts of the Spirit until they laid their hands on so great salvation for. He said he was almost in tears. That this is the answer. So he went there and then he disappeared all over the place. And that issue died. Now, do you see what that solved? People stopped preaching. Oh well, God will choose who will be saved. So why do I go out and be flogged?
When at the end of it, the person I'm flown for may not be saved. Let me stay in my house and say, God, do it. And he will do it. He said they killed prayer, killed evangelism, killed the move of the Spirit. And then you say we should not debate it. You need spiritual surgery if you think like that. It was an issue. Praise God. Someone told me, he said, well, I discovered that your teachings is like a lawyer in court. So I'm trained in lawyer. That's the reason. Say, that's true. I said, you see how you think. Say, Paul was a lawyer. Paul was never a lawyer. I don't know where they got that nonsense from. Paul was a tent maker. Paul was not a lawyer. Okay? I know that's been in your mind since you were a kid. That Paul was a lawyer. Paul was never a lawyer. The only lawyer in Paul's writings was Zenas. Luke, the physician. Paul said, that was his profession. Acts 18 was a tent maker. When it says he knew the law, it's talking about law of Moses. Like a Pharisee. You can't, if you go to Israel and call Pharisees lawyers, they will whip you out of the place. Paul was not a lawyer. Is that okay?
Where was I now?
So, it's an important issue. The issue of salvation. They began to debate it. How are people saved? What does it mean to be saved? So, everybody began to debate it. Now, go back to Acts 15 one more time. Still there? So they went about this question. Jesus Christ didn't say, well, let each man have his own revelation. You get it? Well, he said, well, someone say, in Saints community, they believe in speaking in tongues. In Saints church, they don't believe in speaking, they believe in prophecy. In international saints, they believe in salvation, but with baptism of water. He said, well, everybody has things. It depends on the revelation God gave everybody. Something is wrong with you. What is wrong with you? Do you write exams with revelation? They give you a medical exam. Say, how I see it in my spirit. No, because it's so certain that you know whether you're right or you're wrong. And that's what is called epignosis in the Bible. Exact knowledge. Is it that you're right or you're wrong? Someone came to me, I won't forget this. Very sincere minister. He said, sir. That's how he sat down. He said, sir, I need to get it right. I said, what? He said, this is your salvation. He's a pastor. He said, so that we will know where we are going. I can't like that. He said, we want to know where we are going. He said, what we have believed is not true. Let us know. Then I said, don't worry, take it easy. I said, I'll give you a series. You go listen to it. You won't ask me any questions anymore. So he listened to it. Then he was thankful. Now he knows where he's going. Praise the Lord. It's because of these long teachings that people use rapture to scare you. Say, it's coming soon. No problem. I said, it's coming soon. I said, no problem. No problem. Are you ready for what? I said, oh, it's coming. You say, are you ready? The Bible says the five virgins. Five were white. Acts 15. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. That word conversion, I've heard people say that you can be converted and you're not born again. I don't know where they got that from. The word conversion is the word epistrepho in the Greek. Epistrepho. E-P-I-S-T-R-E-P-H-O. It means back to, or back from,
Well, it's from that's the compound word, but the immediate word here is epistrophe, that is epistrophe, but it's taken from epistropho rather than E-O. You have O. It means to turn around, okay, back from something or to something. Epistropho. You see it used in Acts 3:19. Repent and be converted. What does it mean? Epistropho. What does it mean to be converted? Acts 26. Verse 18. We've been there before. This is Paul laying down the foundation truth about his gospel. I'll start from 16. And rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and the things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Let's take 18 together. To open, one more time, let's go. To open their eyes and to turn from, notice the word them is italicized. So God is not the one that will turn them. They will turn. Do you get it? Is that okay? Turn from darkness to light, the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, listen to what he's saying. He's saying they will turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, and receive forgiveness of sins. How? By faith. So, that turn is the receiving by faith. The epistrophe or epistropho, to turn there, which is where we get repentance, to turn is to believe. Faith is the conversion. Is that okay? Is that clear? Is that clear? Faith is the conversion. By faith, which is in me. You see that used. Luke 24:47. He says, therefore, in his name shall repentance and forgiveness of sins be preached in every nation. Luke 24:47. Mark 16:15, go into all the world, preach the gospel. He that believes, that's conversion, epistrophe. To believe means to believe, that is by faith, accept it, to receive by faith. There you see it in John 20:31. Then in the book of Acts, Acts 5:31. Him God had exalted with his right hand to be the prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Turning around. Acts 11:17. Same thing. So, the word conversion means to believe. Is that okay? Is that okay? It's an act of faith. When you hear, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he's talking about believing. Repent is not a change of behavior, it's a change of direction. Change of focus. Now you repent. That is, start to see differently. I've taught you that before, right? Metanoia, remember it? Huh? Remember it. So it's a synonym of the word epistrophe. To turn around. That is to look elsewhere. Alright? So that's what repentance is. It's not a change of behavior. No. It's actually a change of your mind. Okay? So that change of mind is to believe the gospel. Still out there? Are you still out there? Come on, are you still out there? So they began to talk about that. Go back to Acts 15 one more time. So, and then they went, and they came to Jerusalem, and were received of the church, and the apostles, and the elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. They declared all things that God had done with them. Watch this. Verse 5 says, and there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders, verse 6, came together for to consider what this matter. Now, let me ask you one more time. Okay? What was, is the same matter, is it the same matter in Acts 11? Is it the same matter in Acts 11? No. But did he emerge from there? Did it also show you that the Acts 11 case was not well sorted? Talk to me, come on. Now, so, look at verse 5. Who are these guys? He says the Pharisees that believed. So, they are already, they are born again. But they still held on to what? Traditions. There are a lot of people that are Pharisees on the pulpit today. They are believers. But they have retained things they learned. And they look nice. They look great. They are believers. Because if they were not believers, they won't give them audience at all. So you can find people, believers for a while. Remember, I think it was Acts 6 that says that the priests were obedient to the faith. Acts 6, 5, am I right? Is it 6, 5 or 6, 7? Acts 6, 7, I think. That they were obedient to the faith. But they never changed their mindset. There are people today, before they got saved, they go to church, they wear a hat. Not wrong wearing a hat, it's a clothing style. They wear a hat or wear a scarf. Then they get born again, they don't ask questions. Should I continue wearing a scarf? No, not wrong in wearing a scarf because that's what you want to wear. But you know that it's not required of you? Huh? Where is that coming from, oh? Have you ever spoken to an unbeliever before? And you are preaching to him or her, and they say, are you saying that all those women that wear trousers are Christians? Have you heard that before? Where did you get it from? He's not saved. Oh, so I said, I preached to a fellow one time. And he said, let me ask you a question. Unbeliever, he's speaking in tongues for everybody. I said, obviously it's not for you. It's not for everybody. I said, okay. You know, because you see, so there's some things in our mind. They are priests. Or better still, Pharisees, sorry. And they are preaching. So, their theology, their teaching is still from the law. And are you following these guys? Are you listening to this? So the question really was, when is salvation complete? Verse 5 says, and there rose up certain of the sect. Don't think it means that they just got up. Rose up. Oh yeah? No. That word rose up is a strong word. It's used for, listen to this one, it's used for raising children. That means they grew in this. They rose up. It's the Greek word exanistemi. Exanistemi. They grew. That means they grew into a denomination. Are you listening? Come on guys, are you following me? They grew. Sometimes we feel, but if it's not God, why is it that church large? If it's not God, why do they have TV programs? If it's not God, stop talking like that. Satan is have TV programs. Now, I'm not comparing them. I'm just telling you. If it's not God, if it's not God, they grew. So, there was a part of the church that their own belief system, the denominations did not start today. It started in the book of Acts. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? I've taught you this before on denominations. It started from the book of Acts. In the same city, in Corinth, some will say, I am a Paul. So, in the same city, so it's not new. Exodus to tell me, that is, they grew. So it didn't start one day. They grew. The Bible says, of the sect of the Pharisees. That word sect is a word faction taken from hieresis in the Greek. H-A-I-R-E-S-I-S is the same word used for heresy. Heresy. Heresy doesn't mean the person is not a believer. Can you see what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? Heresy doesn't mean the person is a believer. They were, no, these guys were heretics. A sect. You find the word, let me just run through that. Acts 5:17. Sect of the Pharisees. Acts 24, verse 5. Sect. Paul was accused of that too. Acts 24, verse 5. Acts 24, verse 14. Acts 26, verse 5. Acts 28, verse 22. I'll take it again. Acts 5, 17. Acts 24, 5. Acts 24, 14. Acts 26, verse 5. Acts 28, verse 22. Then in the epistles, First Corinthians 11, 19. Paul says there are factions among you. Factions. In Corinth, there are factions among you. Heresies. Opinions. So, you know, today we celebrate, people have opinions. That's the way they see it. We talk so funnily. That's the way they see it. That's the way, the way they praise God. You know, the way we praise God in Saints Community Church is the way we praise God. The way they praise God in all community church is the different way. And we think that's right. The Bible calls it a work of the flesh. Heresy is a work of the flesh. You must not have an opinion. You have no right to an opinion in the scriptures. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have no right. Nobody has a right to it. Heresy is the work of the flesh. Galatians 5:20 calls it the work of the flesh. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1. Peter used the same word, a sect. They create heresies, opinions. Some people come up and say, people who wear jeans are going to hell. It's an opinion. Someone said, if you don't give tithes, that you will go to hell. It's an opinion. It's an heresy. It's not in the Bible. It's heresy. Praise God. So, these guys were just like that. Heresy is a self-chosen opinion. And that word is from the word heromai in the Greek. R-E-O-M-A-I. It means it's personal. Then it's used for strong views. People who breed heresies are very strong about it. Do you know that? They will preach this heresy, or they will bring out this heresy from the Bible. Very strong. Are you still there? So, the issue about it is it now causes division. So, I told me one time, he said, you are causing division in the body of Christ. I said, no, you are the one causing division. He said, why? I said, I'm teaching the scriptures. You are teaching an opinion. No, what about the way God is dealing with anybody? God is not dealing with anybody anyhow. Paul did not say that, I pray that the eyes of understanding be enlightened in different ways. Is that what he said? No! Praise the Lord. They grew a faction, and the issue was on salvation. I want you to read 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1. Peter calls it destructive. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1. And there were false prophets also among the people, even as there were false teachers among you. False teachers. That is, who is a false teacher? Somebody that should not be teaching. Not that he wear long beard and then wear black cloth and then, you know, have blisters on his. No! He says, there shall be false, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. The word privately means secretly. parousago in the Greek. Parousago in the Greek, P-A-R-E-I-S-A-G-O. It means, you know, para means beside. That means they will add, they will just bring it in. That is, they will be talking about the word, but they will just bring it in. Privily. They just bring it in. I told you somebody, he wrote a book on deliverance. And he said, when I saw deliverance, okay, because I know that he's into delivering people. So I held the book, and I opened it. So he opened Colossians 1:13. He said, the Colossians 1:13 said, God who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has transferred us to the kingdom of his own dear son. As I saw it, I was happy that, oh good, I'm going to hear some good word. Then he said, even though we know this is true, but we know that in our lives, that's an heresy. You see? That's an heresy. It's an heresy. You see it in the word of God, and you still say, we know. Who are we? Talk for yourself. Say, I know in my life. Praise God. I'm what the word of God says I am. So, short things, they will bring it. The Bible calls it destructive heresies. Partition in the Greek, it means to bring down. So watch this. Go to Acts 15 again. You learning something? There rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. Now, if they had said, it's good to be circumcised, we'll find. If they say, well, keep the law of Moses, we'll probably say, You know, for example today, I don't have a problem with people paying tithes. People have misquoted me for, I don't know how many years now. And I'm trying to explain it again and again. Say, well, he says tithe is of the devil. I've never said that before. I'm not against people giving tithe. At all. Not in any way. And that's why some ministers have a problem with me and I really don't care. Really. Someone came to me and said, I want you to come and preach, but I want to ask you a question. He said, do you believe in tithes? I said, no. Ah, he said, why? I said, I believe in Jesus. I didn't get born again to believe in tithes. Praise God. He said, oh, you've tithed again. It's a simple question now. Why are you complicating it? I said, no, it's not so simple. Believe in Lord Jesus Christ, didn't believe in tithes. I believe people should give. Right? They can choose to give 10%. I have never given tithe in my life. And I will never. I've always given far above 10%. And that's what the Bible teaches. Now, some can choose 10% and call it tithe. And God is not against it. But don't come up and say, you must. Do you understand what I'm saying? People, for instance, they eat bread and wine. They call it Holy Communion. I don't have anything against it. In fact, in our camp meeting in 2003, we had communion in this ministry. 2003. In 2001, in 1998, I ordained people in the ministry with oil. When I was ordained in 1994, now don't call me reverend, please. There's nothing wrong with me, but that I didn't just pick it up. So, okay, guys. Oil was poured on my head. In fact, it soiled my cloth. It was white. But I don't use it. So I say, why now? Why do you use it? You see that? Heresy. You must. If you want to be healed, you eat bread and wine. God found a better way. You speak the word. Praise God. Because the bread and wine was for men who were spiritually dead. Amen. Now we have come alive in Christ. Praise God. Are you still out there? And so it doesn't mean, but they say, you must. That's the issue with heresy. You must. That is, that it was needful. That word needful is not a small word, though. It's the word dei in the Greek. D-E-I. It means you must. In the Greek, it means inevitable. inevitable. I'm not against people confessing their sins, for example. God is not against it. If you feel good confessing your sins and listing it in the paper and then writing that, no problem. But you see, we know that it's not confession that brings forgiveness. You get it? But you say, you must! That becomes an heresy. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying here. Again, you must! There are some people here, for example, they have their head covered. I don't like hats, generally. I don't like it at all. At all. You must! No. I like women wearing trousers. And I liked it when I was even a holy brother, but I couldn't say it. I just couldn't. And I was pushing against it. And I liked it. But I just couldn't say it. You get it? You know, but it doesn't say, you must! That is the word needful there. It becomes an heresy. Inevitable. They say, you must to circumcise. That's not really the problem. Say, you must keep the law of Moses. You must. Now, notice something. That word must, they, is a command. A charge. Was a saying. That was saying, you know, that they were just talking, it's a very strong word in the Greek. Paragelo. It means they were warning people. Paragelo. P-A-R-A-G-G-E-L-L-O. Paragelo. They were warning people. Ha! Ha! Are you keeping law? No, they were warning them. Are you still there? Someone asked me a question 2 days ago. He said, did you hear it? He said that in America now, that they want the gays, they have a gay bar. Say, Says there's only one church. Say that one. It is a gay church. Say, brother, the end time is here. Say that's your own sign of end time. Sin. Say, please don't let's engage this kind of useless discussion again. You know, he's just creating fear. How will something somebody is doing, an unbeliever, become a warning signal for me, a believer? So, you find these kind of guys, they begin to warn you. They were not just preaching easy message, they were warning people. You are not keeping the law of Moses. Eh? You are doing this, you are doing that. An opinion. An heresy. You see that word used in Matthew 10:5 by Jesus? A charge, a command. Acts 1:4. Matthew 10:5. Acts 1:4. Jesus commanded, he charged them to wait for the promise of the Father. He instructed them. Look at Acts 4:18. Paragelo. They called them, that is, they called us Peter and John, and commanded them not to speak at all, not teach in the name of Jesus. Acts 4:18. They commanded them. Acts 5:28. So it's an authoritative speaking. Did we not straightly command you that you should not teach in his name? In this name? Acts 5:28. Paragelo. Acts 5:40. And they called the apostles and beat them. Acts 5:40. And then they commanded them. Acts 10:42. Peter's using that one. Acts 16:18. It's a warning. I command thee. So, Acts 16:18, Acts 16:23. So they were warning people.
if they don't keep the law of Moses. They have to keep it. Charging them. That's what they were doing. So, heresy can be a strong opinion, a strong teaching, a prevailing teaching in a place. But watch this. They said to keep. The word to keep is the word terio, to observe it. To observe. That means something you keep looking at. You keep looking at. Now, who were they teaching? Believers. So, now, notice, Acts 11, the issue in Acts 11 was, you can, the Gentiles, should Gentiles be saved? Now they move forward. Okay. Believing is not sufficient. That's what they're saying here. Believing in Jesus Christ is not sufficient. I know many ministries that do not agree that just believing the gospel is salvation. Are you still here? That's exactly what happened here. That you must observe some things. Observe laws. Observe rules. Paul calls it another gospel. Eteros Evangelion. Another gospel. It's not the same. They may mention Jesus, but it's not the same. And that's why many people, and maybe some of you are listening to me right now, you are not even sure. Many of us do not even, cannot exactly say, you know your birthday, but you know your born again day. So when your birthday, say, I don't know, you know, it depends on which one you are talking about. When I was born, you don't know, but when were you born again? I know I first gave my life one day, but I took it back. Then I gave it again. You know, because you've been taught the wrong things. Strong opinions. Now look at verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. That word matter is the word logos in the Greek. Reasoning. An analogy. That means that this issue was analyzed. They didn't just say it. They analyzed it systematically. I've seen volumes of books. From beginning to the end is heresy. Beginning to the end. For example, I told you So Great Salvation 4, those who preached, what do you call it now? Sovereignty of God in salvation is an heresy. Tulip, they call it total deprivation, unconditional election, limited atonement, is an heresy by John Calvin. It's an heresy. Because that's not what salvation is. Hallelujah. And they've been there for years. I say, well, if it's of God, if it's not of God, it won't stay for long. So Islam is of God. Answer now. Traditional worship has been there before Islam said. Don't say that. The length of something does not confer validity upon it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? An heresy is an heresy, no matter who is saying it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hallelujah. You learning, son? It was a reasoning, a mode of thinking. That means, legon means that it had affected the way people were talking. It had affected the way they were singing. The way they are singing. People sing songs today. Say, so what we need is in our lives, we need mercy. We need mercy, oh. Somebody was saying, he said, when faith fails, he said, try trust. What nonsense is that? I heard one a couple of days back. No, I don't hear around. It comes at me. So don't think I don't hear around. He said, if prayer does not work, he said, try praise. Praise will always work. What does that mean? So he said, so you can pray and pray and pray, but say, God, say, when it comes to prayer, faith is required. Things are required. Your righteousness, how you, say, but when it comes to praise, just give your heart to it. He said, David, when he danced before the Lord, and he danced, he said, then
the glory of God came down. I said, you are ignorant. David danced foolishly. Because the reason why Uzzah was struck was not because nobody was dancing. It was because he was not a priest. It's as simple as that. If you like dance with Uzzah, both of you will be struck. It makes no difference. You get the point. It was judgment of the reign of death. It's as plain and simple as that. So well, when Paul and Silas, when they prayed and sang, the Holy Ghost came down. That when you sing, God will forget all his principles and he will come down. That when you pray, no, they say, when you pray, angels come. But when you sing, it is God that comes himself. What is wrong with you? The Bible is not a book where you pick one, choose one. Choose one, drop this one. I like this. I don't like this one. Remove this one. Add this one. It's already the old thing. So there was a reasoning already. So it became a serious issue. In verse 7. Are you there? And then there had been much what? Disputing. What's disputing? A discussion. A debate. Zetesis for Zeteman. Zetesis. Z-E-T-E-S-I-S. An investigation. Is used for controversial issues. An investigation. A search. That means they were searching. Everybody sat down with the scriptures. Paul, Barnabas, and all the Pharisees, born again Pharisees. They were born again Pharisees. Everybody was saying, no, this is it. And it went on. This didn't go on for one night. It went for days. For days. Praise God. Do not treat the issue of salvation with levity. Did you hear what I'm saying? Don't treat it with levity. It can send people to hell. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Glory to his name. They were disputing it. Very keen ministry. You must be able to lay down biblical truth. Okay? In an investigative manner. Bible study, I've told you, is not tea party. It's not tea party. It's not you take your iPad and just punch it. What's the word for today? The word for today is, and the Lord shall cause you to reign among your enemies. And then you shall shine as light. Oh, thank you, Father, for this. Is that Bible study? Word for today. You are the head and never the tail. Oh! I'm head and never the tail. Is that, I say, I've studied the Bible. You've not studied the Bible. You are looking around. Bible study, for people, the way we treat the Word of God is the way we go to ShopRite or malls. Oh, yes. It's true. Ah, this is nice. You have no money. This is good. You're not committed to it. That's why you go up altar call 8 times in 1 month. Anytime you watch Mount Zion film, you are shaking. You look at your wife, I am a tanga. You hear about rapture. Somebody told me, said, he woke up one night. He was trying to say, no, what I saw, man of God. So I woke up one night. And that was how my wife's leg was on the. He said, yay! He said, before he woke up, he had seen his wife in the dream and she had a horn. So as he woke up, he just saw her leg and then, I've been sleeping in the guest room since then. I said, I don't want to mention it. I said, what have you been listening to? Obviously, he's been hearing some nonsense. I said, for example, there are several times I put my leg on the wall. What if I slip off?
What if at that time you enter into my room? We caught him. I've been wondering, where is his power from? Idiot. You get it? I said, what have you been reading? He said, and he's been married to her for 28 years. So he discovered in the 28th year that she puts her leg on the wall. I said, you have been going for programs. You've been going for programs. That was happening. You know, the devil moves around. So you are moving around. How should you think somebody puts his leg on the wall? That is demonic operation. The Bible says it's not flesh and blood. You hear what I'm saying? So, here. They were disputing it, investigating it. It's important in ministry that pastors, leaders of ministries, should be given to investigative inquiries about scriptural subjects. Hallelujah. Verse 7. And when there be more disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them. Now, I want us to take Peter gradually. Peter rose up and then said to them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago, that's Acts 10, God had made choice among us. Watch Peter. That the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel. And what? Two key things. Should hear it and believe. Anything outside of that is an heresy. Anything. Salvation is not believe then change your clothes. Believe and do this. No! That's an heresy. Salvation is you believe and then you are saved. Watch this. He said in verse 8, and God which knows the hearts, glory to God. That means it's with the heart that man believes. He said God who knows the heart. Let me tell you what Peter is saying here. Bore them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost as did unto us. Remember, as Peter was preaching, those folks heard him and then they believed. And God didn't wait for Peter. Those folks spoke in tongues immediately. He says, God who knows the heart, he bore them witness. In other words, it's with the heart that man believes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have you believed in your heart? Oh, you don't believe that. I don't think you're answering me well. Have you believed in your heart? Yeah. Are you a Christian? Say, by the grace of God, what is wrong with you? Are you a Christian? Of course. The answer should come out unconsciously. Of course not. Are you a believer? Well, I'm trusting in God to get there. Are you a believer this morning? See, just a few people. You are posing on believing. Are you a believer? He said, God who knows the hearts. He granted them the gift of utterance. Everybody kept quiet. No, it's Peter that is talking. He said he gave them the Holy Ghost. Acts 11, 17. He gave them the Holy Ghost. Acts 11, 17. You see that in Acts 10 again, verse 40 to 46. The gift of the Holy Ghost was poured out on the Gentiles. So, where do you believe? You believe in the heart. Isn't that true? Said God who knows the heart. Because they have believed. You believe in the heart. Don't say, I don't, that message was not hot. Imagine pretty salvation message, people are not crying. They're not crying. Huh? That's not really salvation. These are spoiling. Say, what should happen? When you give water call. And that was how I was years back. When you want to preach hot salvation message, you look hot yourself. Your eyes are just frowning. Naaman was a chief captain of the host of Syria. He had this, he had that, but he was a leper. You may be a Christian. You may be in the ushering team. You may even be a pastor. But people begin to shake.
But don't let your case be on those like those brethren. Like those brethren. Did anybody call them brethren? Like those brethren that in the last day they said, can you imagine? Like those brethren in the last day. The last day is still coming, you know, and I said those brethren. You don't get that. Like those brethren. Say, Lord, we have cast the devils in your name. We prophesy. And say, I never knew you. Brethren, does he know you?
Okay.
Will you be ready when the Lord... That's a whole salvation message. Nonsense. When the disciples heard the gospel, the word was just written there. The Bible said they had great joy. When the word was preached, listen now, in Samaria, the Bible says there was joy in the whole city. When the jailer received the gospel, the Bible says he rejoiced. Which one are you preaching? People hear your own message and they go, ah, Chai, there's hello. When you hear the gospel of Christ, you rejoice. Hallelujah. Your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. Christ paid it all. There'll be joy in the city. Keep coming. Keep coming. A man of God said, I give you 5 minutes to be saved. However, he said, I close the doors of you. Let me go there. Hallelujah. I'm what the world says down here. He said, God who knows the hearts, who knew that they had believed in their hearts. You know, those guys did not confess. Because if they had confessed, I believe in Jesus, Peter would have known. Peter was stunned. Because God who knows the heart. That means people who have, they will have said it there as he's preaching, they will have said, glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Don't think everybody has said, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. What stereotype is, I believe, oh yeah, Cornelius, where's your, where, Cornelius Jr., Cornelius, Connie, where's your, say after me. No. They, someone can just believe and say, thank you, Jesus. And that's the confession. So I can just say, oh, bless you, Lord. And that's all he has to say. Praise God. That's all. The guy who was a criminal who was crucified with Jesus, he said, Lord, remember me. That's all he said. And she said, today I say unto you, you need to go for water baptism. Today I say unto you, what last did you pay your tithe? Today I say unto you, say, today you will be with me. Hallelujah. You know, he said, where I am, you will be also. Right there. A guy who died, who went 5 minutes to the end of his life, was a criminal. A minute to the end, he became a believer. It doesn't take 1 minute. Salvation is not time. Okay, this is how you are going to save. Number one, in 1 minute, you close your eyes. 2 minutes, you open it. 3 minutes. No, as you believe, in a microsecond, you move from darkness to light. Satan to God. Hallelujah. You become a son of God in a microsecond. And you are there forever. Are you still out there? Look at this. And put no difference. Oh, glory. That means there is no difference. He said, look, what did we do? We also just believe. He said, he put no difference. Hallelujah. That's the word diakrino in the Greek. Diakrino. Diakrino means there's no separate judgment. There's no separate salvation. See, there's no separate salvation. Diakrino. He put no difference between us and them. Many times, we want people to go through what we never went through. He said he put no difference. Purifying their hearts by faith. That word purify is the word katharizo in the Greek. K-A-T-H-A-R-I-Z-O. It means to make clean. To make clean. Jesus used it 18 times, majorly for lepers and the sick. But in Matthew 23, 25 and 26, Matthew 23, 25 and 26, and Mark 7, 19, and Luke 11, 39, Matthew 23, 25, 26, Mark 7, 19, Luke 11, 39, he used it for the heart. To purify their heart, to make them clean. Say, my heart is clean. Oh, come on, say like me. Say, my heart is clean.
Same word katharizo God used for Peter in Acts 10:15. Don't call uncommon that which I have cleansed. Salvation. As salvation, your heart is clean. Hallelujah. Paul used it for our conduct in 2 Corinthians 7:1. Go to Ephesians 5 quickly. Hallelujah. Verse 26, talking about the church. That he might sanctify it and cleanse it, Ephesians 5:26, with the washing of water by the word. Say, we are cleansed and sanctified by the word of God. Say, by the word of God. Look at Titus 2:14, the same word, katharizo. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Hallelujah. So say all iniquity. Say all iniquity. And purify unto himself a peculiar people. Zealous of good works. Say we are purified. Say we are purified. Say I am purified. Hebrews 9:14. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Say, my conscience is purged. Hallelujah. Katharizo is a permanent work of faith. That is, when you are cleansed, you are cleansed. It's not an ongoing process. Say, I am cleansed. Oh, come on, say like me. I am cleansed. There's no filth in my spirit, on my heart. I am cleansed. So what is Peter saying? Go back to Acts 15. Peter is saying, it is faith alone. Hallelujah. Anyone who preaches faith plus is heretic. Is heretic. Salvation is faith in Christ alone. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me see how you're following what I'm saying this morning. Faith in Christ alone. Not faith plus church attendance. Church attendance is great. You grow, alright? But you don't become a human being because you eat. You eat because you are already a human being. Do you hear what I'm saying? Follow this now. Peter now. Peter says, and therefore. Therefore means because of this. This is very important. Because of this, verse 10 and 11 is so important to the work of ministry. Therefore, hallelujah, why tempt ye God? That word perazo in the Greek is negatively used here. P-E-I-R-A-Z-O. Why tempt ye God? Why? The same word James used in James 1:13, 14. God cannot be tempted with evil. Say, why tempt ye God? Speaking in an oxymoron manner. Why tempt ye God? To put a yoke. To put a yoke. Now, he said, therefore. Therefore what? Therefore, because it's only by faith that your hearts are purified. Therefore. Therefore, why tempt ye God? Watch this. To put a yoke. That word put is the word episteme in the Greek. E-P-I-T-H-E. Episteme. E-P-I-S-T, sorry. T-H-E-M-I. It means to add. Why are you adding to faith? Hallelujah. Why are you adding to faith? Why? Why are you adding? Why do you put a yoke? The word yoke is the word zugos in the Greek. It means a burden. A yoke. That word is used for slaves. Now wait. Circumcision was not the yoke. In fact, when you get circumcised, you don't even know you're a child. So he's not talking about circumcision. Circumcision there represents the law of Moses. Why do you put a yoke on people's necks? A zugos is used for slaves. Galatians 5:1. He says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke, in the zugos of bondage. Referring to the law of Moses. Why are you adding to it? 1 Timothy 6:1, same word. Revelation 6:5. Let me explain what the yoke is for you. It's a wooden bar that ties two things together. That's why Paul said, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So you make the two of them wait. You make the two of them go in the same direction. So the minute they add the law to what you believe, you begin to go in the direction of the law. Condemnation. Satan's oppression. Guilt. Unbelief. Because the law was not made for a righteous man. So, there's a... Now, between us and the law, we are on equal yoke. Are you following what I'm saying? What relationship has faith with the law? But they add the law to faith. It becomes a yoke of zugos. They now tie you together. They tie you together. You want to pray. Before you pray, you confess your sins. They are tying you together with something. You are sick in your body. And you want to get healed. You say, hey, what have I done for God? That is the law coming back at you. They tie you together with something. You get married. And then you have a, maybe something arises in your marriage. And then maybe you have you are late in having a child. And they say, oh, so say, have you tried to look at your past? How many boyfriends did you have when you were, before you became a child of God? How many? That's it. They are tying you with something. The reason why that came at you at all is because you already, something has been added to what you believed. A preacher said to folks, he said, you go and write all the sins you committed and bring it to me. I'll take it to God. I say, as who? Highest priest? The high priest of our salvation has cleansed us forever. The Bible says we have been perfected once and for all. You believe that? Say amen. Yes. Hallelujah. So they yoke you together. So write this down. Me, you, and Moses' law, you are not together. You are not, you are on equal yoke. Hallelujah. You are on equal yoke. People still preach women should not wear trousers in 21st century. So the Bible says, thou shalt not pertain, thou shalt not, you know, there was the camp meeting we had. And we had a lot of young believers, young in age now, I mean, and they came. And we had such a great move of the Spirit of God, and we had great times, and one just rose up. He could be, was just not comfortable. A young boy! He says, sir, I want to ask you a question. Why are the sisters, people he's talking about, are not his me too? Why are the sisters wearing trousers? Because we have to be holy to see the kingdom of God. Age, you can, at that age. And I wondered, how did he get it from? Then he went to the verse. He knew it. Memory verse. He said, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 22. I don't know that verse. Verse 5. Is it 5? I always ask it. I've been asking it for many years. I say, what verse is that scripture? Because the Bible says, the law is knowledge of sin. So you, that you know it, God bless you. You know. And I said, eh? I said, what pertained to a man? He said, trousers. Okay. What about women? Skirts. I said, because he was a young boy, I if he was elderly, I'll have been a bit firm. Ash, actually. So I said, do you know that people in the Bible, men, wore skirts? So I gave him like 3 sides of scriptures. So are you still staying with that argument? That skirts are for women? So I'm asking you. So let's even assume without conceding that what you're saying is true. You know, Moses said you have to keep all the law to be justified. He said, look at your shirt. Moses, and so we read down the same Deuteronomy 22, he said, you must not wear a shirt of 2 colors.
You mustn't wear wool and cotton in the same material. He was looking at it. You cannot plant maize and rice in the same farm yet. You cannot build a house or a balcony. Now wait for this one. You cannot shave your hair. You can't cut. It's either it's full or you scrape everything. You cannot do style. Also, your beard. And he said, okay, sir. He sat down. Praise God. You following what I'm saying? It's a yoke. Faith alone. Say faith alone. Say faith alone. In Christ alone. Glory to God. I have some more time and I'm not in a hurry. Okay? Look at what he said. He said, why do you put this yoke upon the neck of the disciples? What is this? Which neither our father, Peter was, I don't know. I agree with those who say that this was after Paul encountered him in Antioch. I agree. Because the way he spoke here, he spoke in very angry terms. He said, let's tell ourselves the truth. Both our fathers and us that we are talking, we were not able to bear it. Hypocrites. So they're not able to bear it. Where, in the Greek there, is a present tense continuous. It brings in the past participle, and then the present tense continuous. Says, they were not, we are not, and we will not be able to. We can bear it. Bastazo. The word bastazo in the Greek, to bear, means we cannot even conclude it. We cannot fulfill it. Verse 11. Praise God. But we believe. Hallelujah. Say, I believe. Say, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Forget that word shall be. It's a word, the word believe there is 24 times used. It's pistuo in the Greek. It's always, most of the time, it carries a past tense. That is an act once done, believed. If I was to translate that piece to O, yes, E and O, I would put it, we have believed. We have believed. Praise God. To be saved. Say, I have believed. He said, even as they. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have believed. Say, I have believed. I have believed.
I have believed to be saved. Faith alone. Praise God. Faith alone. Still out there? Verse 12, what happened? And all the multitude kept silence. Praise God. What do you want to say to what he has said?
Nothing.
The way he finished it was a clincher. He ended it well. He said, you can't bear it. I can't bear it. They were not able to bear it. Nobody was able to bear it. Everybody just kept quiet. It was good that the Gentiles that they were accusing were not there. So you can't bear it. I was talking to the minister years back. I said, you and I know. We know. I said, we all know that we all are trusting in Jesus only for salvation. Say yes. Say, so why are you preaching something else? So that people cannot leave the church. Save you. Five reasons why you must keep attending service. One, your salvation. Don't lose your salvation. People put hell in their doctrine or go into hell so that people can believe, so that they can stay in the faith. But they don't know that it doesn't take those things to stay in the faith. Jesus Christ is the intercessor. Hallelujah. He is a sota. Remember that last week? Is the one who saves. Glory to God. So they kept quiet. And then verse 19. This is very vital. So James began to speak. I have my opinion about this, but I'll leave that. About James now answered, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared, so he begins to speak. You will enjoy him until you get to verse 18 and 19. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Then 19. Wherefore my sentence is, because he's the pastor, that we trouble them not, The word trouble them means do not annoy them. Trouble them not. Don't disturb them any further. Okay? Which among the Gentiles have turned to God. Ephesians 4, remember that? That's by faith. But, hey! You see this? Pastor James! But! It doesn't happen today. But! We write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, fornication, and things strangled from blood. Like Pastor talked to say, plus 5, minus 10. That's exactly what he has done. Now, he says, for Moses, where did we start from? He has taken us back there. That's why when people are in the ministry long enough, sometimes they are unbendable. They are unbendable. He's been used to preaching this way. He said Moses in the old time, had in every city them that preach him, been read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. See the things he introduced, Sabbath day. Synagogue. Leading Moses. He says Moses in the generations, that is time immemorial, Genea in the Greek, G-E-N-E-A, be read. He took us back to the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. Paul said, an idol is nothing in this world. Remember that? He said, there's only one God. He said, all things belong to God. He said, but there are some who have a consciousness of idol. Pastor James, Reverend James, the general overseer of the Jerusalem International Churches, he was a man who had a consciousness of idol. Can you see that James brought out an heresy? No, not true. So James brought an heresy. You will see, that was why when Paul was arrested, or when Paul came to Jerusalem back in Acts 21 and then 22, he was like, he wasn't a conspirator, but he didn't exactly agree with Paul. He said, well, we have heard you, well, let the brethren that want to kill you, let them hear you too. Go and preach to them. Go and tell them what you're saying. Salvation is through faith. Hallelujah. So salvation is through faith alone. Praise God. That's why Paul made a defense. Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster unto Christ, that we might be justified by what? By faith. Galatians 3:25. For after that faith is come, glory to God. We are no longer under a schoolmaster. You are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I'm a child of God by faith in Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, we are put on Christ. There is therefore neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That was why he was so angry. Paul was so angry, holy anger now. He was so angry in Galatians 2 and 1, which was his earliest letter anyway. He was so angry in Galatians 2, in verse 4. He said, because the false brethren brought in, who can be privy to spoil our liberty that we have in Christ, that we might they may bring us into bondage. Verse 5, to whom we give place by subjection. No, not for an hour. You don't give them room. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. He said, look, this who seem to be somewhat, whatever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. That's even from what Peter said. For those who seem to be somewhat in conflict, they added nothing to me. Praise God. He was so angry. It was so critical to the message. Faith in Christ alone, not faith plus abstinence. Abstinence. Not afraid from don't do this, don't do that. Hallelujah. Paul said, even those who said don't eat this, don't eat that. Say whatever. Say if you eat this or you don't eat this, whatever is not of faith is what? Is sin. Romans 14:23. Play for me, I close. Whatever is not of faith is sin. I'm saved by faith. I'm saved through faith. Praise God. They made an issue of this with Paul. Look at Acts 21. Are you learning something? Verse 20. These are believers. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. When they heard what Paul had done, and said, "Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews which we believe. And they are all zealous of what? They are zealous of the law. Do we still have them around today? Oh, you don't want to answer that. Do we still have them around today? We still have them. I was in one service. They were preaching about speaking in tongues. The man spent 1 hour. 1990. 1 hour. The late 1989. 1 hour. He was saying, qualifications for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. 1 hour. He said, you have to be sanctified. He said, Acts 17. Jesus said, sanctify them through that word is truth. He said, if the apostles is preaching on the pulpit, they just said, who are born again? Born again. I said, he doesn't even know they were not born again. Now, I didn't know they were not born again that day. So he said, I knew that later. But I'm now remembering that he didn't even know. In retrospect. Now, he said, God can never dwell in unclean vessels. Stainless. You have to be clean before he comes. So when it was through, nobody in the whole camp spoke in tongues. Nobody. So I was speaking in tongues because I was already speaking. But those qualifications, I couldn't meet them. But since I had already spoken, I don't know what that is. Maybe it's a Nigerian factor, but I had already spoken. Just like Peter. Can anybody forbid this one from water? They've already spoken. You see, the large people in that camp, we were thousands. Zealous of the law. But the word of God is growing. In the name of Jesus. In the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. Zealous. Look at verse 21. That they are informed of you that you teach all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses. Saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. It was still existing after many years. What is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that you have come. We are waiting for him. Look at chapter 26. Are you there? Glory to God. Verse 22. Having therefore obtained the help of God, I continue this day, witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than those things which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer. He should be first that should rise from the dead, and will show light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. Paul had two major problems in ministry. Two major people. Those who teach the law of Moses added to the gospel. The second set he had are those who use oratory. Today, you call them motivational speakers. That was in Corinth. You know, Corinth was a mixed breed. Corinth had those who were Jews and those who were Gentiles. The Jews were talking about the law. The Gentiles were talking about wisdom, intelligence. If, for instance, we talk about rejoicing in the Spirit, the flow of the Spirit, someone said, it's not logical to them. He said, those are the kind of people, motivational speakers. They speak about worldly things. So he had two sets of ministers he spoke against, and their conduct. In 1 Corinthians 2:1, says, when I came to you, I did not come to you in the excellency of speech, declaring unto you the testimony of God. But my speech and my preaching was not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand, verse 5, in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He had those two people. Romans 16:17 says those who deceive the hearts of the simple, they have good speeches. They talk very well. What you do, if you want to require, you require, you attire, and all those nice things. Someone said, you need to know Jesus, the person of Jesus, to get to heaven. His principles to live on earth. Absolute nonsense. People say, those are the two people that Paul had issues with. Men and brethren, it's faith alone. Hallelujah. Through Christ alone. By grace alone. To the glory of God alone. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. 1 Timothy 1:3. I say this to ministers of the word, like Paul said to Timothy. I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. When I went unto Macedonia, that thou charge them some that they teach no other doctrine. Your opinions are not allowed. You're not allowed to preach sentimental messages. Are you following what I'm saying? Christ alone. Christ and Him crucified. Praise the Lord. Are you glad you're saved this morning? Say, I'm saved by faith. I'm saved through faith in Christ alone, by grace alone, to the glory of God alone. Put your hands worship. I hope this God.